Brothers and sisters, please stand and hear the word of God as we continue with the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, starting in verse 16. This is the word of God. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." That's part of the word of God. May you bless it to us all. You may be seated. It sounds like a crazy slapstick comedy. Imagine a man about to go out into the dark of the night who turns on a powerful flashlight and then immediately covers it up so that he can't see where he's going, so that he constantly trips over things that he could have seen with his flashlight. And we think, what a fool. But then we think, well, I know people who have done that kind of thing. And then we think again, I've done that kind of thing more times than I want to remember. And that's why Jesus spoke this parable of the lamp. He fully knows that part of our fallen, sinful nature is to willfully blind ourselves to what we know is true, so that we bring calamity upon ourselves. And he knows that it is a problem that afflicts everybody, the strong and the weak, the educated and the ignorant, the rich and the poor, those people and us people. Jesus saw that very thing happening among the Jews as he went about preaching the good news of the arrival of the kingdom of God, the message of God's forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration to friendship with God. Many of the people were not taking his message seriously, even though they could see the meaning of his message displayed in the healings that he was performing among the people. The parable is very short and is accompanied by a prophetic warning and a call to repentance. Look at verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar and puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then, this is the prophetic warning part of it, take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given, and for the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. The parable is very pointed. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed and on a stand. This is something everyone knows. The purpose of light is so that people can see. So you light up the house when you invite people over so that they can see. But the light does something else. It reveals the state of the house, doesn't it? So in verse 17, nothing. Jesus says that is hidden will not be made manifest, and that is by the light. And the light in this instance is his preaching of the word of the kingdom, the message of the kingdom. He's going about preaching to the Jews the good news of the kingdom of God. And as he does so, that light reveals and exposes the darkness of the hearts of the people and their evil deeds. So there's two things. It reveals the glory and the grace and the love and the mercy of God, but it also reveals and exposes the evil hearts and evil deeds of human beings. I'd like to make an application at this It's the very same gospel preaching that David was in the name of Jesus. As the church makes the gospel known, it exposes the rottenness and corruption of people's hearts and lives. How could it do otherwise? To talk about the infinite love of Christ is to expose our lack of love. To talk about the grace of Christ is to expose our sinful, judgmental, condemning attitudes. To talk about repentance and walking by faith is to expose our stubbornness and our faithlessness. People don't like that. They want a message that makes them feel good about themselves and about the way that they live. But if you're corrupt and living in sinfulness and wickedness, you need to have your sins exposed by the light of the gospel. Notice I said by the light of the gospel, not by the light of the law. Many people think that if you just preach the commandments, people will realize that they're guilty. No, it's the gospel of the love of God and Jesus Christ, our Lord, that gets right down to the heart of the matter where people's rebellion against God is. The law is valuable, to be sure. But the Pharisees had the law. It didn't do them much good because they didn't have Christ. The gospel exposes our sins, not simply to condemn them, but in order to deal with them in grace and in mercy and in repentance and in healing. The gospel never says sin is okay. The gospel never says God loves you and therefore you can do whatever that you want to do. But the gospel specifically addresses our sin and says God loves you despite the corrupt human being that you have become as a result of Adam's original sin, to which you have added your own sins because of your own corrupt heart. And God has brought about a way of upholding on the one hand his righteousness and on the other hand showing the mercy to sinners such as you and me. And that's the cross of Christ, where the righteous one, the Holy One of God, bore our sins and our guilt and our punishment in our place upon his body on the cross so that we might be forgiven. But that gospel exposes our sins. It doesn't hide them. The blood washes them away in the sight of God. But that gospel tells us who we are. And because we are under God's grace, for the first time in our lives, we can look at who we are. Because apart from the grace of Christ, we're like the guy who lights the light and then immediately puts it under a bushel so that nobody can see what the light illumines. It's like the guy who has a powerful flashlight, turns it on, and then when he goes out in the dark, turns it off so that he can't see. Because apart from the grace of Christ, we can't bear to take a good, hard, long, honest look at who we are. But in the light of the grace of God, we can. Because we know that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we can stand vertical, we can stand erect before God, knowing that God has forgiven us. And that God means to change us. God means to change us. He doesn't save us from our sins and then leave us in them. He saves us from our sins and then he gets to work on us to make us new in Christ. With grace and mercy comes repentance and healing. This is supremely good news, because otherwise, when our sins are exposed, it leads only to shame and condemnation and rejection and separation from God and from each other. But the gospel exposes sin to get it out of the way, to deal with it, just like a doctor exposes disease, not to destroy, but to heal. And Jesus is the great physician. Now, in Jesus' day, many of the people were coming to hear Jesus' message, but they weren't believing it. So Jesus warns them. Verse 18, take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. And that was happening among the Jews as well. Jesus came in fulfillment of the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament. So the Jews who believed in Jesus saw that he is the very embodiment of all that the Old Testament taught them. As they listened to Jesus, he deepened their knowledge of the Old Testament because of their faith in Jesus. To what they had, more was added. They could see Jesus as the very fulfillment. And they learned more and more of the richness of all that the Old Testament taught as they saw the fulfillment and the embodiment of those scriptures right in front of their eyes. And so I'd like to make a second application. So it is today in the ministry of the gospel. We must eagerly receive God's word of love and grace and redemption, for as we do, we will receive more and more of the fullness of God's love in Christ. Our life will be filled with God's light. It will expose our sins, but in that we will rejoice, for by God's grace, he exposes our sins not to condemn us, but to heal us. So the warning of Jesus applies today, just as it did in his own day. Those who do not take him and his message seriously risk losing what knowledge and understanding they already have. That's what happened to the Pharisees. They should have known better. Jesus kept appealing to the Pharisees, "If you believe what Moses said, you will believe me because he wrote of me." But because they rejected Jesus, they lost even what they had, tragically and sadly. If we are not open to the light of God's grace, exposing our sins, we will continue in them until they destroy us. And we won't want the light of God's love and grace in our lives, because that very love and grace convicts us. That's how people who once professed Christ end up falling away. Lord God, have mercy. So let us, dear brothers and sisters, diligently hear and receive and believe and embrace God's word of grace, so that we may trust in the Lord and repent and be healed from our sins, so that we may receive more and more of the fullness of God's grace in Jesus Christ, and share in that grace together as brothers and sisters. Now, Luke records that Jesus' mother and brothers came to him but could not get near to him because of the crowd. That's in verses 19 and 20. And Jesus' answer, when someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are here to see you," Jesus' answer is kind of astonishing to us. He said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." What is Jesus saying? Is he dissing his mother, his brothers? To ask the question is to answer it. That's impossible. Jesus, more than any man, loved his mother and his brothers. But he took the occasion to make the point that our greatest loyalty must be to him and to his word. Jesus came to bring the word of God, the word of God, the word of his Father. Jesus came to do the works that his Father had given to him. Jesus' greatest loyalty was to his Father and to his Father's will. Now, he loved his mother and his brothers, and he's not diminishing his mother and his brothers. Actually, he's doing quite something else. Is elevating the status of those who hear the word of God and do it to the status of the intimacy of the relation of his mother and his brothers. He's not diminishing them. He's elevating people who are not related to him, who are total strangers to him, but who, like him, receive the word of God. Paul is saying we all can enjoy the kind of intimacy with him, of his own mother There is absolutely no doubt that Mary came to a full knowledge by the time of the she stood at the foot of the cross. And later on, we know that his brothers seem to have come to a saving knowledge of Christ as well. But think about this. Jesus offered this word to believers in his day, and they received it. Think about how many from them then, down through the ages to us, now in our generation, have been welcomed by the Lord Jesus Christ as intimate members of his family.